Hey guys, welcome back to the Wisdom and Stuff podcast. I'm your host, Daryl Boucher, and this is where we cut through the Christianese and tradition-based thoughts that hinder us from the limitless lifestyles that we as actual children of God are designed to walk in. So let's go ahead and dive into the Word and see what the Holy Spirit has for us today. Okay, well, praise God. Welcome back, Wisdom and Stuff podcast. This is Daryl Boucher, and we're going to get into something. I don't know. We'll see how long it takes us to get through it. It may just be one, maybe two, three, whatever the Holy Spirit leads. But I want to get into something here, and this is a very, I guess, well-taught, abundantly taught subject in the Word, and it has to do with the parable of the sower. And you can read this parable in like three of the different Gospels, but I'm going to read it out of Mark chapter 4. I like Mark 4. It just kind of has a few things in it. And of course, in Matthew like 18 or whatever it is, that's got a lot in it too that Mark doesn't have. So, but I encourage you to Mark chapter 4's account just has a few different things that I kind of like to bring out. But what I want to get into before we talk about this is really understanding why it's such an important parable. Jesus said, he even said, he goes, if you don't understand this parable, how are you going to understand any of the parables? And there's a reason why this is taught so abundantly. Jesus, it's interesting how he even in this, he says that he began to teach them these things wherever he went. He taught this parable wherever he went. This was something that he taught over and over again. And it's because it was such an important principle in the kingdom of God. But I think we sometimes lose sight of why it's an important parable. We hear the teaching a lot, if you say to somebody who's been saved very long at all, parable of the sower, they're like, oh yeah, I know that one. That's a good one. And so we'll all readily agree how important it is, but I don't think we understand why it's as important as it is. And because we don't know why, it kind of gets into that realm where we just think we've heard it, and so we're like, oh yeah, I know that one. That's a good one. Yep, that's like a Sunday school message, or that's like a new believer's class, or that's something like that. And so we kind of dismiss it, and we don't actually take it to heart again. We don't actually put it into remembrance again. And so we really, in doing so, what happens when we do that with any of the Bible is we relegate the teaching that we've heard time and again, or the subject that we've heard time and again, or the scripture that we've read time and again, we relegate it to tradition. So now we're hearing it through the ears of tradition. We're hearing it through the ears of, yep, I've heard that before. It's good, but I've heard it before. And so we're not coming against it. We've just relegated to the area of what I would call traditional hearing. So now we're hearing it through the ears of tradition. And instead of having fresh ears, instead of having fresh revelation, instead of coming to it like it was, if I were to announce a podcast today of say, hey, I'm going to tell you today, when Jesus is coming back, or I'm going to tell you today of how to literally in one step raise the dead, or in one step, know all the mysteries of the kingdom of God or whatever, people's attentions would be perked up and they'd be like, oh, let me listen to that. But when we say things like, oh yeah, let's talk about the Beatitudes, or let's talk about parable of the sower, our ears turn. And so our ears begin to actually do the very thing that Jesus is warning us against in the parable of the sower, right? He literally was talking to us about how we hear things. And the funny thing is that almost ironically, we have put the parable of the sower in the very category that the parable of the sower is warning against. And so we don't want to relegate any of the teachings of the Word to the realm of tradition, because tradition makes the Word of God of none effect. And so, first of all, let's begin to just get into why is it so important. Why did Jesus say that this principle was so vital? He's talking about, of course, he's using the Word of God in relation to a seed, and he says that the sower sows the seed. The sower goes and he sows the seed, and then the seed falls on four different types of soil, right? And he's literally saying, though, that what determines what the seed does is determined by the soil it goes in on. And so he literally is saying that the seed itself has only part of You know, almost like the almost like part of the responsibility is on the seed, because the seed's going to determine what it can grow, of course. But the seed doesn't determine what grows. It only determines the type of fruit that grows. It only determines the type of tree that grows. It only determines the characteristic of what can grow is determined by the seed. How much is grown and whether it does grow is determined by the soil. And so he's literally saying that we need to realize that the Word of God, which is infinite, the Word of God, which is limitless, the Word of God, which is able to save our souls, the Word of God, which is able to literally change the whole world, the Word of God, which actually came and said, let there be light, and there was light, the Word of God, which created everything from nothing, the Word of God that literally raises the dead and heals the sick and causes blind men to see, the Word of God that literally comes in and can cause people to go from death unto life, that's the same Word of God. The same word of the Almighty God that cannot change, that settled forever in heaven, comes into our hearts. And what we have done, though, is we have not taken these verses to a literal point where we're not saying, okay, well, then if the Word of God has that potential, then he's saying that my heart is what determines whether or not, or to the degree by which that word is creating a real very tangible, real, noticeable difference in my life. If the Word of God is if it's coming into my heart, if I'm hearing it and it's coming into my heart, but it's not producing the kingdom of heaven itself, if it's not producing the limitless life of God himself, if it's not producing that in my life noticeably and tangibly so that everybody else around can see it, then something is not wrong with the seed. It's not wrong with the word. It's something is wrong with the way my heart is receiving it. And this is not, you know, once again, I've said this before, well, we kind of have a generation right now that in a good way, they have realized that they're not supposed to carry shame around ever. Praise God. But in a bad way, they've made that about not taking correction ever. Okay. And we need to realize that correction and shame are two very different things. Okay, and I love the fact that we have a generation that refuses to take shame, that refuses to take shame, but that doesn't mean we don't take responsibility, and that doesn't mean we don't take correction. Jesus was very corrective. The Word of God is very corrective. It's not the only thing it does, but it carries that attribute of correction, because the very first thing that he told John the Baptist to speak, that Jesus spoke, that Peter spoke, that Paul spoke, was repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is so available to us right now. It will literally change everything, but we have to repent. We have to take correction. And so Mark chapter 4 is one of those chapters that literally says, hey, you know, this is seriously not about it's not about, you know, the power of God's word. And it's not even about the one who's sowing it. It's not about the power of your pastor or the power of your teacher or the power of whatever. It's not about the sower. The sower sows the word. The moment the sower sows that word, purposefully sowing it, is the moment that the sower's job is done. Okay, and that seed carries the same DNA it has always carried, and so that the seed carries the potential to transform things. However, now it's about the heart. And this is the parable of the sower. It's talking about the heart, saying, if I am not seeing. Now, he's not writing these verses to get us into a woe is me mentality. He's not writing these verses for us to say, well, I guess, look, I mean, I've been a Christian for all these years and I haven't seen growth in these areas, so I must really be ridiculously stupid, or my heart must be so bad. See, this is not taking shame like that. This is taking correction, and he's literally saying, we can break the cycles simply by changing our heart. We can break the cycles of how much impact the word has had in our lives simply by changing our heart. It's good news. The gospel is always good news. The good news is that I not only that I have responsibility, but I have authority over this. I have authority over my own heart. Nobody else has authority over your heart like you have authority over your heart, okay? There's no external force that has authority over your heart. You get to choose what you do with your heart. And so Jesus is literally giving us such great news. And he's saying, if we have not seen, the results that we want to see, then we have something called the ability to change our heart. And we know it's God that changes the heart. But you understand, we have the ability to take our heart to God. We have the ability to literally say, okay, Father, I need a change of heart here. This is not about how much more Bible I read. See, this is that's the one thing about the parable of the sower, is he's making it clear that it is not about how much seed went into the ground. We have really... Oh, this is so interesting. Okay, every seed, you know, like obviously I grew up in Oregon. In Oregon, we have a lot of Doug fir trees, and we have a lot of other trees too. But Doug fir on the west side of Oregon is probably the one that grows the most. We also have a lot of hemlock, a lot of spruce, a lot of other things. But Doug fir is the one that probably grows the most. And so, but you see, within a Doug fir seed, a Doug fir seed doesn't just have the power to grow a tree. Right, the Doug fir seed has the power within it, not just to grow a tree, but it grows a tree that carries a lot of cones, you know, and a lot of other seeds, as far as, you know, other Doug fir seeds. So within that Doug fir seed is a tree, and in that tree is the nature to carry, you know, thousands of more seeds every year, right? So it's not just, it doesn't just carry one grouping of seeds, it carries seeds every year. And so every year there's more seeds, and every year those seeds go in the ground, and every year those seeds begin to grow up, and every year those seeds become trees, and every year those trees become other trees that actually have more seeds, and every year so forth and so on. So that one seed, that one Doug fir seed, literally has the DNA of reproduction to the point where one Doug fir seed has within it the power to create a forest. That's how much power one seed has in it. Is it doesn't just have the seed to bring fruit. It doesn't just have the seed to bring a harvest. It doesn't just have that seed. It has that seed has the power to literally change a landscape in one seed. But if that one seed doesn't go in on good ground, that one seed will lay dormant, and that DNA of the forest within it will actually lay dormant. And yet the truth of that DNA will never diminish. The power of that DNA doesn't diminish. The power of the seed doesn't diminish. It doesn't disqualify the seed. It's simply not activating the seed. And so there's such a partnership between the soil and the seed that the soil literally is designed to unlock the DNA of the seed. That's literally what the soil's design is. The soil's design is to unlock the power of that seed. Praise God. And so here, you know, here we see that, of course, in verse 15 of the parable of the sower, he's explaining the parable. And in verse 15, though, he says, these are they which are sown on the wayside, that when they've heard the word, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. So here in this verse, he makes it very clear that what happens on the wayside is these are people. Now, once again, you know, all four soils are people who hear the word. Every one of them had the same seed. So these are not some people who are, you know, Christians and some people who aren't, or some people who are in church and some people who aren't. No, they're all four sitting there hearing the same word, having the same seed sown to them. It's just that some of them are actually allowing that word to change their life. Some of them are not. And so, and there's a degree. There's 30, 60, 100 fold, right? And I encourage you to read the parable. Go back and read it. Mark chapter 4, verse 1, all the way down. And read all the way through when he explains it and everything else. But here he says this. He says in verse 15 that number one, number 14, it says the sower sows the word. So very clearly he's saying the seed is the representation of the word of God itself. And then in verse 15 he says, what happens though is when the word is sown, the devil comes immediately and tries to take away the word that's sown in their hearts. So we see that the soil is the heart, right? So Jesus explains this, and he makes it very clear that the seed is coming in, and the seed is coming into our hearts. It's not just coming into our physical ears, my physical ears, let me just get it really clear here, my physical ears do not have the power to put a demand on the DNA of God's word to make it come to pass in my life. My physical ears are not designed for that. My physical ears are literally just, you know, physical attributes on the side of my head that have eardrums, that have these different things that the word comes in. You know, now, once again, we know that he's not talking about physical ears here because it's not about the physical hearing. Okay, let me get it that way. It's not about the physical hearing. Because if it were about the physical hearing, then that would mean that people who potentially are deaf can't have the word of God grow in their life. Well, we know that's not true, right? We just have to say it. We have to say it as simple as that sometimes because to break ourselves out of a rut. We know that deaf people can grow just as heartily as anybody else in the things of God. Praise God. And we know God wants to heal everybody so that nobody has physical, ailments like that. But at the same time, something that is maybe different in us physically doesn't change our capacity of our heart to put a demand on the word of God. So here he's not talking about just people who hear the word audibly. He's talking about people who hear the word in their heart. There are people who they hear the word orally through their ears. They hear it all the time. They will be listening to podcasts or listening to the word of God or listening to preachers or listening to whoever all the time, but it hasn't changed them. There are people who read book after book. I mean, I remember a guy when we were living in Eugene, and we had at that time in the church we had a bookstore, a Christian bookstore in the church, and I remember a guy come up and he's like, oh yeah, I've read that, and he's like always wanting a new book to come in that he could read it, and I'm not trying to be critical, but he wasn't showing a lot of fruit from all the stuff he read. He had a pretty good library of things he read, and they were all good things, and he agreed with all of those things. It wasn't like he said, oh, I read that was garbage, or I read that, I didn't agree with that, or I read that, and I didn't think that had anything to do with me. No, he read it, and he said, oh yeah, that's good, I want more of it. But it wasn't changing his life. Okay, and this is where a lot of Christians are right now, is what we've done, and this is interesting to me, is that what we've done is we think that repetition will take the place of reproduction. Okay, let me say that again. We think that repetition will take the place of reproduction. It will not. Okay, reproduction it requires an intimate relationship with something, right? So, for a husband and wife to reproduce, they have to have intimacy, okay? But that intimacy has to, just being biological about it, there is a seed that's sown and it is conceived in the wife's womb, right? Well, there has to be a conception. There has to be where that seed comes forth and it is accepted within the woman, right? And so you have the seed and you have the egg, right? And they have to come together in order for there to be reproduction. But you see, just because the seed is sown doesn't mean there's reproduction. Just because there's an act of intimacy doesn't mean there's reproduction. Okay, in other words, the act of intimacy, doesn't necessarily even mean that there was true intimacy. It just means that there was seed that was sown, but it doesn't mean that there was conception. And so what we think though is we think that repetition can somehow do the same thing that reproduction does. That's not true. God designed things to be reproduced. He's designed us to bear much fruit. He designed for the soil and the seed to have a relationship that actually puts a demand on the seed that allows the DNA of the seed to come out. Okay, and then within that seed, like I said, there is the automatic power of reproduction within the seed. There's the automatic power of it. So here the word of God comes in as a seed, and the DNA of the seed of the word of God is there not only to produce something, but to reproduce it over and over in my life. It's there to reproduce something over and over in my life. It's not just there to produce something one time and then I have to go back. And it doesn't mean that, like I said, I read the Bible and I read it and I read it, not from repetition, and I don't pray from repetition, trying to be heard from my many words. I want to do everything from a place of intimacy, so reproduction is the goal. And understanding that when the Word of God comes in, it is literally here to actually engage with my heart in a way that it begins to actually, like it says at the end of Mark chapter 4, that it actually bears a tree that actually is so big that the birds of the air lodge under the shadow of it. And I mean, am I going to say it's supposed to bear a tree that continues to produce every year, every season? It's constantly reproducing. And what we do though is we we do something, but we don't actually allow it to be a heart thing. And so we will get a little bit of benefit from it, from the word. You know, we'll get revelation from it, or we'll get a benefit from it, or we'll see our prayers answered or something like this. But we don't actually build anything in our life that's reproducing that. And so we end up having to go back and redo it and redo it and redo it, instead of realizing God's design is that he actually literally put his word in me so that it bears fruit, and it continues to bear fruit. And so it continues and it reproduces. Oh, it carries the nature of reproduction. But what we've done is, instead of intimacy that causes reproduction, we've actually made it works based on repetition. And so we get caught in the same cycles of having to repeat ourselves. You know, read the same Bible, confess the same scripture, pray the same prayer, give the same, you know, tithes and offerings, do the same thing, and then we'll see the result of those prayers come in. But we haven't actually engaged in a place of intimacy with the word or with God to allow it to be something that reproduces in our life. So, oh my goodness, I need to wrap it up for this time. But I just think, I just realize that let's just break the habit of repetition. Let's break the habit of repetition and realize that our hearts are designed by God to put a demand on the word so that we actually have an intimate relationship. Our heart and the word have an intimate relationship with the word so that it begins to bear fruit. Not only bears fruit, but creates an ecosystem that's continually bearing fruit, so that it's low maintenance. Once you plant a tree, you'd have to do a little bit on it, but it is pretty low maintenance after that. I don't have to plant the same tree over and over again. It will literally bear fruit, and it will cast seed so that more and more trees just like it will bear fruit too. Okay, it's pretty low maintenance. You know, there's some, you understand, it's like in Oregon, nobody has to plant blackberries in Western Oregon. They are everywhere. They're like a weed, and they will reproduce. You understand, that's how he wants his goodness to be in our life. He wants his promises in our life to be so thick that we never have to plant it again. All we do is we just prune it a little bit. We do this, we do that. You know, we maintain the vineyard, but it's actually reproducing on its own. Praise God. That's the blessing of God. That's the word of God. And that's what our heart is designed for. Praise God, is to actually have to be a fruitful vineyard of the word of God, that we're not having to replant. We're just managing. We're just doing that. But we're living and thriving off of the word of God in us, and we're allowing it to be a blessing to those around us. So, Father, I thank you, Lord God, for your word. I thank you, Father, for what you're doing in us. And then just, Father, give us the understanding of these things, Lord God. It's paramount that we get the understanding that our hearts are what they're designed to do is actually, Father, to have intimacy with your word. And I just thank you, Lord God, that we come to you and we allow you to change our hearts. Whatever our heart's doing right now, I guarantee you it's not, Father God, to the fullest extent of what you designed it to do. And so that's not a mark of shame. It's just simply a mark of saying, Father, we know that we need to have your heart in us the way that you designed it. And so we allow you to do that right now. We allow you to take us from one level to another level of heart so that we can actually have intimacy with your word at a higher level. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for joining us today on Wisdom and Stuff. Don't forget to subscribe to get new updates and check out our podcast page on Podbean to find all our previous posts and full-length messages. We'll see you next time and have a blessed day.